Our priorities are all out of whack. Hey, welcome to the show. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Get to the very important news regarding the sitcom bracket in just a moment. But Perloff, I'm like bothered by some of the headlines that came out yesterday after Team USA, the men's basketball team, won. Okay, they beat Serbia yesterday by, 26 points? Crushed yeah. Nikola Jokic. You know, three-time MVP. Obviously did not have enough firepower with his teammates. But they win.
Mm-hmm.
This is good. This is a good thing. Kevin Durant has this amazing game. LeBron James has a great game. And everything should be positive. Yet I feel like the 1A headline coming out is that Jason Tatum didn't play. And I have two words in the form of a question. Who cares? Who could possibly care about that? You have Jason Tatum didn't play. The team won. The team won, right? Everyone, the team won. They're going for a gold medal, right? They won yesterday. Yeah. Steve Kerr didn't say he was benched for disciplinary reasons. He's not hurt. He just didn't get in. It's an all-star team of guys who are in Paris right now playing for Team USA. But it's not the all-star game. It's not everybody has to get in. This is not an exhibition. These count now. So if Steve Kerr couldn't get Jason Tatum into the game, who cares?
Wait, I could not disagree more.
What does it matter?
First of all, it is an all-star game. It's the Olympics. It's not the NBA Finals. Who cares? They're going to whoop Serbia. Serbia was not good this year. This is like the team around them. Maybe they win a game or two here, but obviously Jason Tatum could have played and they could have won by the same exact margins. Jason Tatum, he killed guys in exhibition games. Nobody could cover him.
Okay, so he's going to play the next game.
No, like, I honestly, if I'm Jason Tatum, I'm not even there. I just fly home. I'm like,
no.
I will see you in the NBA Finals and I will whoop you, KD and LeBron.
No, Jason Tatum should be comfortable enough with, look at the year he's had, right? He's been first team All-NBA for three seasons, including this year. He just won the finals. Finally, they break through, get over the hump. Okay, he wasn't finals MVP. That was Jaylen Brown, who's not even here, by the way.
And by the way, he has every reason to be upset as well.
Totally. I understand him being upset. He 100% got snubbed out of this. But again, Tatum's going to get his chance.
He shouldn't. He should be home on the couch watching gymnastics with the rest of us.
I mean, as delightful as that sounds, I just don't get the up in arms about this when the ultimate goal is what? For the team to win.
At the end of
the day, as long as they're hoisting gold medals, that's all that should matter.
They're going to win this tournament.
They look really good.
With or without Jason Tatum. So why not just, you're playing Derek White 16 minutes. Derek White, who's on the same team. There is a lack of respect here.
Derek White is playing because he's in these rotations,
right.
and Steve Kerr is trying to do these specific rotations. Okay.
Yeah.
If you think this was like disrespectful,
yes,
and
you
okay, then what's the motivation? Because if there's a disrespect, there has to be a motivation. What could Steve Kerr's possible motivation be for not playing Jason Tatum? What does he care?
Well, I'll tell you what he cares. And it's probably not going to happen, but if the Warriors ever got to the finals against Boston, Boston would beat them on a hard 4-0 this time.
They did hard that 4-0. A couple years ago, and the Warriors won.
Yeah, I know, a couple years ago. Now, Tatum's a much better player. He would dunk on everybody's head, and then he would spit on the coach.
Oh, God.
Tell you right now, No, that's too far. I'm just trying to think, what can you do to a coach? You can yell at him, I guess. The point is, this didn't strike you as odd. First of all, odd. Second of all, yes, it's disrespectful. Jason Tatum balled out in the finals. He didn't score as much because he was too busy playing four and rebounding like crazy. I think this is ridiculous.
Let's hear from Steve Kerr, because this doesn't sound like somebody who's got like malicious intent here. This does not sound like a coach who is going out of his way to try to prove a point or make a point or try to embarrass Jason Tatum. Here is Steve Kerr. Let's hear cut 9 first, please, Ryan. Spoke to Tatum about potentially not playing.
Jason handled it really well. I talked to him today before the game that it may play out this way, just with Kevin coming back and the lineups that I wanted to get to. But that'll change. You know, Jason's going to play. Every game's going to be different based on matchups.
By the way, Kevin Durant was unreal. Durant had the first half of a lifetime. He scored 17 points in like the blink of an eye.
Couldn't miss.
They were not going to sub him out at that point, or they were not going to change rotation just for Tatum. Here's more from Curry. Says he feels dumb for not playing Tatum. Okay.
He's a total pro. He's, you know, first team all NBA 3 years in a row. I felt like an idiot not playing him. But in a 40-minute game, you can't play more than 10. You really can't.
Okay, there's logic behind all of this. And then Kerr says Jason Tatum will play in the next game.
I think he's an amazing guy, great player, and handled it beautifully. And, you know, he'll be back out there next game.
Case closed.
Well, here's my issue with what you're saying.
Yeah.
You're acting as if this is an NBA game where it's standings, everything. There is a symbolic element. This is not really like the same level of competition as the NBA. Like in the NBA, you have to be as cutthroat as possible to win a title. Like it's really hard. They've had like six different champions in 6 years.
Right.
U.S. is going to win. Like there is an all-star game element to this. Like I think they do have to play everyone and make them happy. I'm sorry. It's not going to cost them a gold in any way.
See, I disagree. I think that there was no malice behind this. There was just the idea that they went with the rotations that were working. They won by 26 points. The fact that I'll say sports media society or sports fans, the fact that we've come up with something to complain about is, I think, what people believe is what's wrong sometimes with sports. Like, how did we invent something out of thin air to be so upset on behalf of Jason Tatum? Okay, if you're a diehard Celtics fan, maybe because you put this on top of the Jaylen Brown stuff, but you still had Derek White out there being awesome. Like, do you want to win a gold medal or not? And you're right. Jason Tatum not being there didn't have any bearing on this, and him being in the next game will probably help. It's not like the Olympics are over and he never got in the game.
You could have checked me in for 14 minutes and won that game by double digits. What the heck are we doing here? Yes, of course. If you're going to fly him out there to Paris and make him do all this, you got to give him some minutes. It's totally embarrassing. I disagree with you. I do think this is ultimately an exhibition game anyway. So why not get him out there?
Well, this is the group play. So, okay. When's the next game? It's, it's Wednesday. Wednesday, July 31st at 3:00 Eastern time.
Against who? Puerto Rico?
Against South Sudan.
Oh, South Sudan. I mean, okay.
Okay. Listen, they barely beat South Sudan in the exhibition. And if we see Jason Tatum, then what, guys? Like, you're not going to be upset because he's going to play.
Well, what if they sack KD for the rest of the game with that?
I don't care.
You
as
don't
long
care
as
after the
winning.
Guy? After the guy? Well, okay. But there's symbolism here. It's not just about winning. Come on. You're really going into this tournament? You're America. You have LeBron James and Steph Curry and Anthony Edwards. Like, you're saying that, like, they need to, like, really fine-tune their rotations to get out of here with a medal?
I'm just saying,
get out of here.
Whatever Steve Kerr did in that game worked. So why are we complaining about it?
Yes, you know what he did? He was a coach of Team USA men's basketball. That's what worked. You're awesome. You have Jason Tatum on the bench. Like, don't give me any rotate. There's no strategy. Steve Kerr didn't do anything here.
Well, he
did nothing. He just rolled the ball out and let the eight best players on planet Earth win the game.
Do you understand what he's saying, though, where he's like, am I really going to go more than 10 deep in a 40-minute game?
Yes. Yes, you're going to at least check Jason Tatum in for a little run.
See, I
it's
think
so
that's
bizarre.
More disrespectful. Like, if you check Jason Tatum in at the end, like he's some walk-on,
put him in the first half. Well, I don't care what your rotations are.
But here's the thing. He was going with what was working. Okay?
What was working? Oh, my God. Okay.
KD maybe put together the best half of basketball that's ever been played at the Olympics.
Oh, my.
You're subbing him out when he can't miss to bring in Jason Tatum. Why?
If putting in Jason Tatum is going to cost you the gold medal, then just hang it up and don't even
be there. No, it's not costing you. I'm just saying I just don't understand the up in armsness about it when the outcome of the game was positive for Team USA.
Because obviously it's going to be positive. I mean, that doesn't mean anything.
No, but some of these exhibition games, it actually wasn't a given. Like, they were close in some of these. And so I think they actually were trying to figure out the rotations that make the most sense. Listen, I was at the Olympics in Athens when they got the bronze and they lost to Puerto Rico and they lost to Argentina. And they were not doing symbolic check-ins at that time because LeBron James and Carmelo Anthony, Dwayne Wade had their behinds on the bench basically the entire game for Larry Brown putting in Stephon Marbury and Richard Jefferson.
They might have won if they'd done some symbolic check-ins.
No, that's a
get Marbury off the
they
court.
They didn't need this time. EJ, you wanted to weigh in on this. Do you think I'm off base?
Well, Maggie, I think Pearl makes a good point. I mean, this is Jason Tatum we're talking about, right? So, like, the other bench warmers we've seen on Team USA in the past have been, like, your Carlos Boozers, your Michael Reds, your Christian Laettner, college player, Anthony Davis, rookie. I mean, we're talking about guys who are like fringe all-stars or even college players who didn't get time, who oftentimes were sitting on the bench. Jason Tatum's a three-time All-NBA player. This guy's won an NBA championship. I mean, I think there is a little difference when it comes to the disrespect factor for a guy who's this accomplished. It's not like he's a barely all-star. He's one of the best players in the NBA.
That's fine. What was the final score of the game? Or what was the outcome of the game? The U.S. won by 26 points. How we find something to complain about after that is wild to me. And everyone's taking up for Jason Tatum when Steve Kerr is saying he's going to play in the next game. So, like, where's the disrespect? He's
going to play. But then to your point, though, if you're saying, well, they won the game, so what difference does it make? Well, if you won with him sitting on the bench, then if you're a good coach, why are you throwing him in? Why don't you just do what worked? If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
I think South Sudan poses a different type of unique threat than Serbia did, clearly. No, I mean, this just to me felt like outrage for the sake of it. Jason Tatum, like, again, unless you're a Celtics fan, Cap, obviously, I understand if you want to see your guy. But beyond that, like, really? You're that offended that Jason Tatum didn't get in? Get out of here.
Well, it's not like the dream team. I mean, like, I don't know. It's just like the thing that you're treating it like it's some like game four of the NBA Finals just seems silly to me. The United States plays Serbia, who I can't believe the last. I thought Serbia was good. I don't know what happened there. I mean, obviously, Joker will get them some wins. Then they play Puerto Rico, South Sudan and Puerto Rico. You're telling me these are not exhibition games? These are like, oh man, Kerr better play the right rotations or we're in trouble.
Well, but again, is he going to empty the bench just for the sake of it, too? I think that's more disrespectful to Jason Tatum if you had symbolically got him in for, like, the last 90 seconds.
I agree. Play him in the first half. For sure, you play Jason Tatum. And honestly, it is a little weird that he's such a better player than Derek White. It's night and day.
Well, they have White in there for defense and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's like having Anthony Edwards on your team and playing Michael Conley for 19 minutes and benching Anthony Edwards. The whole thing is bizarre to me.
855-212-4227. How about your boy Embiid getting booed?
By the way, talking about a guy they should bench Embiid for Tatum.
Well, 4 points, 2 rebounds.
He's not good at international play.
I think that's what makes the Tatum thing also so glaring, is it's not like we don't have another star who definitely should be sitting. Like, if Kerr is saying that Tatum is a coach's decision, what the hell is a decision to keep playing Joel Embiid? That's what Bill Simmons said. It feels like Team USA is minus 57 when Joel Embiid is out there. I mean, Joker saw him on the court and was like, oh, give me the ball. This is when I go attack. Like, he was awful. He's been awful the whole exhibition run, too.
I think there's a thought that you need size. I mean, but Embiid and Tatum, that's not the same. Like, that's not sub in, sub out one guy. That's very, you're talking about a whole different five on the floor, if that's your thought, right?
Forget about angry and all this stuff. You watch that Olympics game, and Tatum wasn't on the court, but LeBron seems like the best player. But if you had to pick one player for next year's NBA season, I think 99 out of 100 people would take Jason Tatum.
Well, for the next season, I think Anthony Edwards is probably going to be the guy.
If your choice was Jason Tatum and LeBron, I think you would take Tatum.
Oh, well, yeah, but this is like a sprint, you know? We're just talking about, eight games total?
I don't know. Even if it was the Celtics against the Lakers in the finals, I feel like Tatum would be a problem for the Lakers. It's just ironic. I mean, you could argue he's better than some of the guys in the starting lineup.
Yeah, but this is like LeBron's games.
So it's symbolic. You just admit it. It's not about winning. It's about symbolism. And it's, in the sense, exhibition. It's LeBron games. It's not even about Team USA.
Honestly, they made this choice about it being about LeBron a long time ago. He's the guy. This is his thing.
Right, and that's not a strategic move. That is a lifetime honoring thing. So if you're doing things that aren't about basketball, at least show a little respect to one of the best players in the world.
Listen, I think two things about that. One, if they were struggling, I could understand where you could be upset about LeBron getting so much burn over a guy like Tatum. And two, sounds like you're making my Caitlin Clark argument.
Oh, yeah, I've come around on that, Caitlin. Like, the fact that Caitlin's not there, I mean, because...
Crazy that she's not there, right? Now it's crazy.
I'm going to say, Team USA women's basketball is an exhibition game because they are not losing. So what do we do? Like, why would I turn that on? It's a full exhibition game. So you might as well get the best players in. At least the men's side is going to be a little more competitive. Like, when's the last time the women lost?
92?
Yeah, so you're right. I I think actually when you were off, I flip-flopped on that topic.
Oh, did you flip-flop? Oh, you're back. Yeah. You're on my side now about Caitlin.
Yeah, as we got closer to it, and I actually have the reality of trying to watch a women's game, when there's no drama because they're going to win, you might as well have had Caitlin out there.
I like this from Daly, who's in our chat, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet. Daly, one of the loyal weedos. Steph barely played, and Embiid's not a good international player. Tatum didn't play. Who cares? USA clowned Serbia.
Yeah.
Boom.
By the way, I have to admit, I was rooting for Canada a little bit. Now I don't even care. I'm not going to watch a second of men's basketball for about the eighth Olympic in a row.
So
there's no drama here.
So now what sport are you going to watch more of?
Simone Biles.
Yeah, it's all
like the rest of America.
Yeah,
I need some drama. I need the juice, Meg. I don't even know, like, what are the spreads on the USA games? I thought, by the way, can we all do our... You thought they would drop a game.
I did. I thought they'd lose
a game. EJ, you were a little nervous about the structure of Team USA. Did all that, and I also thought that they might be in trouble. It all went away from me after that game. After KD came out, I thought KD was hurt. What happened there? Someone fill me in.
No, he's like, apparently he's the best he's ever played. I mean, the guy's been played since April in a game, and here we are. Now, you've been watching a lot of gymnastics.
Yes.
I watched quite a bit as well over the weekend.
Yes, and in part, it gets into our Jordan LeBron debate a little bit.
Why?
Because there's a gymnast named Jordan Childs who was named after Michael Jordan. Jordan texted her right before she went on, and she killed it.
Whoa, I didn't know that story. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's a gymnastics where it's at, Maggie.
I love it. Can I ask you something? Have they been stepping out of bounds more often than they generally do?
All the time.
I'm not going to claim to be Miss Gymnastics. Yeah. I'm just a fan. I can't do a forward roll without getting nauseous. But I think they're stepping out of bounds a lot.
I had the same observation. I was wondering, it's sort of a cardinal sin of the floor routine to step out of bounds, right?
It's a tenth of a point deduction, and I just found out that if you have 2 feet out, it's 3/10 of a point.
And Simone Biles stepped out, but then was so dominant the rest of the run that it didn't matter.
I think they're trying things that are so crazy, you can't possibly land in bounds. Like, it takes so much to take off in the way that Simone Biles does and to do these complicated floor exercises. There's no way you could, like, contain yourself.
Yeah. My favorite part is when they're paused and they have to do the little jazz hands, like 20-second little dance routine riff. And like what they come up with, like they're doing all these crazy athletic moves and they're like, let's stop and jam for a second. It's always like a light rock jam. Like, you know, like you can't see on radio what I'm doing now, but it's awful. You know that little pause to dance? And it's always the dumbest dance. Like it's something out of a bad cheerleading movie. It's like Simone Biles, the greatest athlete in the world, quadruple flip. Now she's just going to do a little ditty for about 15 seconds while she gets her breath. You know what I'm talking about?
Of course I know what you're talking about. I think there is a technical part of that, but I don't know what it is.
It's always so silly. But she did a jump. She did a jump yesterday. She just runs, jumps up in the air, must have done 4 flips based on her own momentum. Incredible. I mean, I'm late to the party here, but Simone Biles will definitely, if she wins a gold and goes through on this, on the hurt calf, I mean, her GOAT status is undeniable.
855-212-4227. There's your Olympic gymnast breakdown, Maggie and Perloff style. Perloff doing jazz hands on the stream. It was kind of like guns. You were doing the...
They do like these little... They're always like...
They're voguing, basically.
Yeah, they're all... Is it on tonight? Watch it, and you won't be able to unsee it. You won't be able to unsee it. Just these great athletes just doing a little dance.
Yeah. Oh, the men are today, Big Zoo's telling me? Great. Love it.
Did anyone happen to see the guy who was on the high bar and the men and fell flat on his face
yesterday?
That was
awesome.
Wait.
Zoo. It was terrifying.
That he fell? That's not awesome.
What about the guy on the diver?
Funniest thing I've ever seen.
The diver that just goes off at a board and literally backflops into the pool in one of the most hilarious flips that I've ever seen. Oh.
He did like 4 turns and ended up going horizontally, belly flop. I think he was on, his back or his front?
I thought it was his back, but it could have been.
Definitely his back.
Either way, that's pain.
Oh, God. And the tweets about it were so funny.
You guys are ghouls. How are you reveling in this? Especially for the divers and the gymnasts, people who, it's not like they're making this great living the other 3 years. They work their whole lives for this. They faceplant, and you're like, that was awesome.
If they're lucky, they'll make some money off the faceplant.
This guy, oh my God, it was just his setup was so perfect. He looked poised, ready to go. He's been practicing for 4 years, and then he just flopped.
I felt terrible for the male gymnast because he fell, then his fiance's crying in the stands, you know, the parents who picked up and moved across the country and all the sacrifices, and then he just fell. It was like, it's like you're just, it's over. That's it.
I saw a tweet with the backflop guy that said, "This is what happens when I lie on my resume."
I just love it. There was one tweet just said, "Nailed it."
Yeah, I saw it too. So this is me at the pool after five high noons.
Yeah. I forgot exactly. Who said that. That was funny.
Been there. 855-212-4227. All right. Your favorite Olympic event. What are you getting into? I've been into it. The basketball's whatever, but the other stuff is phenomenal. The gymnastics, the swimming.
Yeah. I mean, basketball, if it gets tight in the medal round and we have to see LeBron, that'd be unbelievable to see. But right now, if they blow everyone out, can't get into it.
All right. We got results for you. Maggie and Perloff sitcom bracket, final four, the flash poll that had to break a tie between The Office and Cheers. The results are next.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Don't move.
Crazy times at the Maggie and Perloff Show. Our greatest sitcom ever bracket is nearing its conclusion. We had a tie last night between Cheers and The Office, an actual tie. We're not making this up. It wasn't like close. It was same exact number of votes on both after 3 days of voting. So we had a two-hour flash poll. The results are in. Maggie, who will advance? Is it Cheers or The Office?
Okay, so as you said, this was the number one seed in the Cheers region. Cheers.
Are you saying that I'm too dumb to date smart women?
I'm saying that it would be very difficult for you. A really intelligent woman would see your line of BS a mile away.
You think so, huh?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, you know, I've never met an intelligent woman that I'd want to date.
On behalf of the intelligent women around the world, may I just say...
Cheers going up against the two seed in this region, The Office.
What you're saying is extremely misogynistic.
Yes. Thank you. That was not necessary, but I appreciated it. And proves my point. Women can do anything.
I'm saying that you're being sexist.
No, I'm being misogynistic. That is insane. I am not being sexist.
That's the same.
Yeah.
Forgot to say Rashida Jones and how good she was in The Office.
She's awesome. I'm a huge fan.
All right. Do you have the drum roll, please? The winner in the sudden death overtime of the final four of the Maggie and Perloff TV sitcom bracket. The Office. 52-48%.
It will be
The Office against Seinfeld in the final.
That's exciting. You really couldn't go wrong. Both great shows. Cheers, The Office. No shame in losing in the final four.
You know, I kind of love Seinfeld versus The Office in the final. I feel like this is very representative of two of the greatest sitcoms of all time. I think people had an issue with our seating from the very beginning. They were critical. People like Perloff, who was actually on the committee. Bogus, you were also critical. America was critical. But I think ultimately we did get to a perfect final. Seinfeld and The Office.
I don't know if I can buy that. That just because you got Seinfeld and the number two seed, The Office, in the final match, that doesn't mean that some of the shows should have been, especially seeds 12 to 16.
Mm-hmm.
Thought that's where we lost it a little bit.
Okay, well, those 12 to 16 seeds do you think really would have been in the final?
Well, nothing was going to get the final. It's about making the tournament. Like, for example, Pete Bellotti, the Bellotti Invitational Tournament, had Three's Company versus Home Improvement in the final match. I'm like, how did those shows not sneak into our bracket? Those are iconic sitcoms. So I think those were legitimate snubs. And by the way, I don't think I had either of them on my original bracket either. So I'm not saying it's not my fault, too. I do think we screwed up some of the shows.
Okay,
we went a little niche when we should have gone with my general take is we should have gone with some of the broader comedies.
Okay, but we eventually got to Seinfeld versus The Office. Like, this in the year 2024 is a great final to have.
Yeah, but I mean, if you, what do you tell the donors? You didn't even make the tournament. Like, I think there's value to who goes into the tournament.
I mean, I didn't even go back to our Sweet 16, though. I mean, we had the seeding was chalk for a lot of this. So this idea that we were that these seeds that didn't make it or seeds that were too low would have went on some big run, I don't see that. I think the results of these brackets show that we mostly got these seeding right. I'm standing on business on this seeding.
I think
because it was your seeding, you better stand up.
Oh, it was a three-part committee. Don't listen to Perloff, who keeps trying to distance himself.
Bogus, be the voice of reason here.
Yeah, I don't think that because you got to a good place, it erases all of the very legitimate complaints about who was in the bracket. And then for me, the way some of the seeding went, because there were a lot of good shows that got canceled out early because they were underseeded and therefore had to face tougher competition first. So those issues still remain. And whether whoever's in the final doesn't change any of that.
And the reality, too, is for everybody, no matter what our seeds were, people were going to be mad. We saw that when we created this.
Well, we did.
Yeah, people are took sitcoms very, very seriously, as they should.
Now the voting will be open momentarily for the final, Seinfeld versus The Office. Good luck, America. I'm voting for that one. Anyone want to say who they're going to vote for? You want to think about it?
I'm voting for The Office. Seinfeld's going to crush this one.
You think so? Should we have a spread on this? How many percentage points do you think Seinfeld will win by? I don't know.
Seinfeld's been like UNLV in 1990 or whatever year. They've just been destroying the competition. They've been running away with it. In fact, they at the point where you could actually sit Newman by the fourth quarter. I mean, they were so far ahead. So,
it's a UCLA-like run for them.
Yeah, it just feels like based on the results, I would go Seinfeld. But you know what? That's why they play the games, Maggie. That's why they have the votes. Sometimes multiple votes.
Like today, we needed a sudden death overtime poll just to get to the results. Okay, there you go. At Maggie and Pearl, Bogus has headlines. Hi.
U.S. women's basketball debuts in Paris, 3 Eastern against Japan. As we know well by now, Caitlin Clark is not there, but maybe she should be, says Dawn Staley, who was on the committee that didn't pick Clark back in early June.
Caitlin is just a rookie in the WNBA. Wasn't playing bad, but wasn't playing like she's playing now. If we had to do it all over again, the way that she's playing, she would be in really high consideration of making the team because she is playing head and shoulders above a lot of people.
Staley said that on NBC yesterday morning during the men's win over Serbia.
It's an argument.
I don't think they helped. I don't think she helped anything.
She did not.
By doing this.
No.
Yeah. I think at this point you have to say we stand by our selections, that we believe that this is the team that gives us the best chance to win or whatever. I think a lot of doing the revisionist thing and like, oh, if we knew then what we know now, she should be there. I just think it got people riled up all over again.
Yes.
Can I also say one thing, though? I stuck around specifically for halftime to see what NBC would do for halftime of the men's game. I mean, maybe revolutionary. 2 people on the set. Like, we could do that, everyone. We don't need 7 people doing a halftime show.
Who was it?
It was Mike Tirico and Dawn Staley. That's
it. Oh, okay.
When I was in London, that's how the finals was being broadcast on BBC One. It was just two people on a set.
Yeah, but don't they do that Monday Night Football? I feel like they do SVP and Ryan Clark at times. Just they kind of pare down that halftime show.
Yeah, but that is not the norm.
But it doesn't matter.
The norm is to have everyone and their mom sitting on a set.
But the problem is ESPN runs in a 20-minute halftime, 19 minutes of commercials. So they basically, even SVP and Ryan Clark don't get a word in.
I thought it was kind of refreshing. I'm like, great, 2 people.
Yeah.
That was refreshing. What was not refreshing is Dwayne Wade saying for the 15th time, his pronouns, he and him. He must have used that line at least 15 times over the weekend.
Who was he talking
to? He kept saying any good player that played in these games. So he used that for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander on Saturday. And then on Sunday for LeBron and Kevin Durant, he kept saying, ladies and gentlemen, his pronouns, he and him.
Oh, like he's him. Oh, I
yes.
Like
I thought you were talking about something. Okay.
Like as a compliment.
Yeah,
as a compliment, but he used this line, and then he went on Twitter and was joking, hey, guys, let me tell you something about LeBron James. He is he and him. And I'm like, yeah, we know, dog. You said it 15 times during the broadcast.
Not a bad line, but you can only use it once, right, EJ?
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
It's hard to have the discipline just to hold back like that. Dwayne Wade also was using a lot of us and we, but...
And we catch himself sometimes.
He did catch himself and, like, apologize. Like, sorry, I'm still new. I consider myself part of this team. I don't think that's that crazy.
That's fine.
It happens.
Did you guys see, back to Kaitlyn real quick, did you see the tweet over the weekend that made the rounds that she already has more assists than 75% of the players in WNBA history?
Yeah.
And it's true.
I've actually done a deep dive into the WNBA. Apparently, before Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese came, nobody scored more than 8 points in a game or had two assists. How is every single day
the weirdest thing?
What is going on with the WNBA? Did nobody score a basket until these two people arrived? It's strange. Anyway, that's just my only take. They break so many records every day.
Right. Is part of it because that first wave of great players when the league started, they were all like near the end, they were in the back half of their career. Like Cynthia Cooper played, I think, three WNBA seasons.
No one's ever had more she was double doubles in a row than Angel Reese. Like, that's crazy.
I don't know.
I think the problem is, one, these rookies didn't typically come in and just like
and play
dominate like this, like except for maybe Breanna Stewart and Candace Parker. So that's number one. Number two, I think it's similar to the NBA where the women play at a way faster pace now than they did, especially in the 90s, for sure. When I was watching those games as a kid, like it was kind of like the NBA in the 90s, too. It was very physical, slow down pace of play. They shoot a lot of threes. They get the ball up and down the court. I think some of this is just like also the evolution of basketball.
Yeah, the era. You were not having the scoring. It was really dominated by bigs. I mean, it still kind of is.
But it seems impossible that she's already in the top 25% of assists halfway through her rookie season.
It's got to be pace of game.
Like, that doesn't seem possible.
But I mean, but some of the records that they are breaking is like, it's Diana Taurasi's record, or it's not like it's, you know, it's still women who have had these incredible careers.
Yeah, but I mean, Angel Reese, for example, she had 15 consecutive double-doubles, and that set the all-time record. That's insanely low. Like, Brittany Griner never had 15 double-doubles? I can't believe that just means 10 rebounds and 10 points, strikes me as a strangely low number.
Yeah, I guess I wonder how many on the men's side, like...
Had 15 in a row double-doubles. Will Chamberlain probably went four seasons of double-doubles.
Will Chamberlain, I mean, this is different. But plumbers even like, and firemen, guys.
But like random guys had like double-double streak. Like it's a weird thing. Like you could, like he's saying, like that's a thing you can just kind of almost accidentally get. And she got in the first 3 months of being in the league. Like their journeyman rebounders probably had 40, 50 games in a row with double-doubles.
So Will just barely edged Angel Reese. Angel had 15. Will had 227.
Pearl off.
Let's see. And but I think Domantas Sabonis just reset the record. I have to get the number here. I assume it's longer.
He might have been like in the 50s, I think.
Yeah. It just seems like it is funny. The Caitlin Clark number is like she's setting records. It's got to be like Mike D'Antoni, just way faster. She's, by the way, is she that much better at this point of the season than she was earlier? Do you guys see that? She's missing a lot of shots.
Yeah, like she's still missing shots.
Like she's shooting. Her shooting is not getting better.
It's still more about the assists than it is about the shooting, but I do think she is getting
the team is winning a little more. I mean, I'd like to see after this break how she shoots once she gets her legs back, because 32% from three and 39% overall is not ideal.
Bogus shot.
Let's jump back to the men's side. The main omission there is not Jalen Brunson. It is Jaylen Brown. He thinks that he was left off the initial roster and then not picked as Kawhi Leonard's replacement because he's not a Nike athlete. Managing director Grant Hill called Brown's thoughts conspiracy theories on the Dan Patrick Show Friday, maintaining these were just roster decisions. Brown then tweeted, quote, Grant Hill calling me a conspiracy theorist is disappointing. I've been a VP since I was 21 years old. I have a great understanding. This is my favorite story about this team. Is Jaylen Brown not on it and why he thinks he's not on it?
Do you think that he's got a point, Jaylen Brown, or do you believe Grant Hill that Nike has nothing to do with this, or do you believe Jaylen Brown that Nike has everything to do with
this? Well, I mean, the history of this team suggests that it's never just basketball decisions, whether it's personal or shoe companies or what. And while I agree that you have to build a team and not just take the best 12 available players, I don't understand how there's not a place for Jaylen Brown.
I think basketball history at all levels indicates that these shoe companies have gigantic influence. Totally. So I would go based on that, I would say that Jaylen Brown is more in the right.
Yeah, I find it hard to believe that this is only a basketball decision, because you're right. It doesn't make a lot of sense at all. Yet, if you're going to say this is a conspiracy between Nike, Grant Hill, like this is a conspiracy that a lot of people would have to be in on, that I think at some point would come out.
But is it, I don't know. Conspiracy seems like too strong a word. Everyone knows Nike picks all sorts of things. Like they have gigantic influence on the league. They always have. Yeah. Like, is it a conspiracy when Nike gets a player to go to Kentucky? That's not a conspiracy. That's just the way it is. I mean, Leon Rose is the now an NBA executive. Wasn't he? What was his old job?
CAA.
CAA.
No, the Dallas Mavericks GM was the former executive at Nike.
Yeah, okay. Nico Hamilton.
For some reason, I thought Leon Rose and Worldwide West had some shoe ties in, too, like where they used to push guys to certain colleges. Like, I think it's part of the industry. What's your answer?
I think there's more to the story here.
Yeah.
I just think if it comes out that it was Nike, I think we're going to find out about it, because a lot of people, I think, would have to know that this is the reason, right?
Is it that?
Maybe you keep that in a small enough circle that people don't know and you could take it to the grave kind of thing, but I think people, that might filter out.
EJ, you probably know better. Like, has Jaylen Brown trashed Nike or just not worn Nike stuff?
No, when the Kyrie situation happened, he was one of the most outspoken people defending Kyrie, saying, What does Nike know about ethics? I think was his exact tweet. I think he tweeted at Nike. I think he was trying to start a conversation. So he has been outspoken against Nike in the past.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the optics of picking Derek White was weird, too, because he's on the same team. Not ideal. I get it. Derek White fits in very well with what they need. But I don't know. I do think there is some symbolism here. And, man, I got to tell you, as a Eastern Conference team fan, the Sixers fan, I don't want to see Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum getting all mad. Jaylen Brown's going to dunk on our head.
Oh, I feel the opposite. As a Eastern Conference fan, I love this dissension that's maybe being created. Like, Jaylen Brown continuing to make this a thing, knowing that three of his teammates are already there. One of them may already be unhappy because he's not playing, and him continuing to spark this. I want there to be as much dissension possible on the Celtics. So yeah, bring on the drama.
Is this the thing that fractures the champion Celtics?
Maybe.
Well, listen, Jaylen Brown's not backing down, and he's the guy who's the reigning finals MVP. So he's got a lot of say here.
He became like the alpha of that team. Yeah, and like angry Jaylen Brown, I would disagree with each other. I think that's going to be good for the Celtics. Like no one's been able to repeat in the NBA forever. I think they're giving Boston the bulletin board material to go do it.
I kind of want this
Who would have thought after one game in the Olympic basketball, if there were going to be two Celtics who will be playing for Team USA, that it would not be Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Think about that.
Better yet, there'd be one Celtic who's playing and his name is Derek White.
Drew Holiday's playing too.
Crazy. Oh my God, I forgot Drew Holiday.
They're playing two Celtics that aren't Tatum or Brown. That is mind-boggling.
Yes. And by the way, Kelly Olynyk and all these other former Celtics are going to be playing on other teams. Did Sam Hauser make the cut?
Chase Buttinger made the Olympics though.
There
what
you
country?
Go.
He's a beach volleyball star now.
Oh, right. Country, this one. Hello, Max. All right, well, flat out of time. Thank you, everyone. Coming up, we do have to get to the training camp storyline no one's talking about, but we are next. Great, Andrew Perloff. I wanted to bring this up to you, Pearl, because it's summer, obviously, and I know this is something that is really close to you because you worry about it all the time, and that's shark attacks. And I saw a statistic that I thought would put your mind at ease. One, your chances of getting bitten by a shark are 1 in 11.5 million.
Wow. Okay.
How about that? 1 in 11.5 million. You're not getting bit. Like, you're fine. You can get back in the water. I know you think about this constantly.
Stop.
What?
Because my daughters are about to go to surf camp on Rockaway. It's been shut down 4 times in the last 2 weeks with gigantic sharks 100 yards off the coast.
Okay. You're seeing the sharks. I'm just saying the odds that they're going to be fine. With those kinds of odds, I'll knock on wood for you, too. We're talking about your daughters.
Why would you do that?
You're good at it because I thought you'd put your mind at ease.
You know why I'm not going to get bitten by a shark? Because I'm going to stay on dry land.
Okay, that's fine, but not for your daughters. I'm talking about for you. You can get in the water.
I don't care about me anymore. First of all, I've lived a great life. It's my kids. I do not want them to get bit by sharks because they surf.
I don't want them to either. I thought this statistic would help you. I was like, hey, it's 1 in 50, I'd be like, all right, don't go to surf camp. It's 11 and a half million.
Yeah, but why are you saying it out loud? Do you know anything about how jinxing works, Maggie?
Just stop. It was a headline I saw USA Today, and I thought that you would appreciate
okay.
that.
The show's almost over, but you're going to have to stay after a little later so I can show you the size of these sharks. This is a beach that is 20 minutes from my house, and there are Goliaths floating a football field away from the beach. You could see, like, the waves breaking, and there's this huge shark, and there's people there. What is going on?
Well,
things have changed
definitely changed.
There are more sharks because of conservation laws that help with the wildlife, and there's seals. So I don't even want to go here.
Okay, well, I thought I was doing the right thing. I thought I was doing a nice thing by giving him this statistic. Like, it's not as, like, better odds to hit the lottery, but, like, being struck by lightning. Like, it's one of those things, Pearl.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's probably more likely that, you know, you could get hit by a bus instead of, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, 100%.
By the way, terrified of somebody getting hit by a bus. Those things go way too fast.
You're
in my
right.
neighborhood.
Only a
way
city fast. Bus, so that, you know, listen, we can make some money after that.
Hey, Zoo, I hope to God not.
Yeah.
Knock on wood.
Really did think I was going to make you feel better. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make you feel worse.
Well, we're getting into some New York City stuff here. You know, there's a huge crisis of people dying in the water right now. There's been 6 drownings off the 2 local beaches because the riptides are so bad this year.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and they can't afford lifeguards. Like, this whole thing's a mess. And the beach, and no, so they have drones.